Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. The Reverend Mark Rabe is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Philippians chapter 3. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory, they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So Paul writes, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. First and foremost, as this chapter begins, he does say, rejoice in the Lord. He encourages them to rejoice. It's not a problem for him to write such things. That again and again we need to hear that we ought to rejoice in the Lord, to cling to Christ, to cling to his word, to glory in him. And then as he speaks in our text specifically, put no confidence in the flesh. Our works, our achievements before God. Prior to our text, Paul also says he could lay claim to a number of those marks of the flesh. As a pious Jewish person, he could cling to the fact that he was circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, Pharisee, as to zeal, persecuting the church, as to righteousness, under the law, blameless. What might be those marks you would cling to? If I were to make a badge of honor, I certainly wouldn't even compare to St. Paul's. I could say baptized on day 14 after I was born, raised LCMS, a product of a Concordia University school, trained at Concordia Seminary. I'm sure I've been a Pharisee, according to the law, and even overzealous at times. Yes, Paul was better. A better pedigree than I have, but again, we're to be reminded of what kind of badge of honor that Christ needs to dismantle through his Spirit as we would follow him, as we would imitate him. Paul would count all those things loss, a loss that he would know Christ and be found in him. The only achievement that matters is what Christ has done for him. That is the achievement, what God in Christ has done for you and for me. So like St. Paul, what would count as loss to be found in Christ? In today's lesson, Paul writes, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. That also means knowing the power of the resurrection, of sharing in his sufferings and becoming like him in his death. It's a tall task indeed. Perhaps we're okay with setting down accomplishments, having our badges of honor dismantled, counting everything as loss except to be found in Christ. But sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, a tall order. But the Lord does find a way. Yes, he does say, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me. My yoke and my burden is light. He trains us. He leads us. And whenever we go against him, we chafe. But he is guiding and directing us in that cruciform life that we live in, that we may share in those sufferings and become like him in his death. But our flesh, though, in reality, has enmity towards the cross. It's an offense, which is scandalizing to us. Scandalizing that Christ would be a sufferer for us, or that we would even have to suffer, that his path of suffering is there for us, that we are to walk in that path of suffering, to strive to walk like that humbly as well. Yes, we cannot certainly do as Christ did, but like Christ, we suffer. Part of that cruciform life also means that we, and this is what chafes against our flesh, I might have to show restraint. I might have to not do what I want. I might have to refrain for the sake of someone else. And so I need to train myself like an athlete, rooted in God's word and sacrament, pruned by his law, fed by his gospel. And so we strain towards that goal. Like an athlete training, running a marathon, straining towards that goal of the upward call in Christ Jesus, imitating Paul, imitating those who have gone before us, fixing our eyes on Christ, walking humbly with him. This Trinity season, in the 1 year Pentecost and the 3 year, we're headed towards the end of the church year. It's coming very quickly. The delightful weather is reminding us of that. The time change, the reality of nature, of the leaves falling, but also in the church year, we're headed towards the end, headed towards the last day, resurrection, judgment, new creation. The reading yesterday, which actually was here on Friday, as we commemorated All Saints Day, was from Revelation chapter 7, looking at the church militant, but also looking at the church triumphant. We are that church militant, ever in formation, prepared and ready, fighting the good fight, sometimes not so well, not always fighting against our sinful nature, the devil and the world, but we are that church militant in the midst of that battle. St. Paul is also calling us to fix our eyes to the church militant, what is there before us, remembering that our citizenship is in heaven, that we are to rejoice in the Lord and what he's done for us by his death on the cross, forgiving our sins and giving us eternal life. And by faith, we cling to that. There's a wonderful hymn that we sing at All Saints Day. Hymn 677, verses 5 and 6. Let me read that to you, because often in the midst of the battle as the church militant, we often let the noise of everything get in the way. And when the fight is fierce, the warfare long, steals on the ear the distant triumph song. And hearts are brave again and arms are strong. The golden evening brightens in the west. Soon, soon the faithful warriors cometh rest. Sweet is the calm of paradise, the blessed. We were talking about this hymn in Bible study yesterday. Steals on the ear, that's not a phrase we tend to use too much anymore. Steals on the ear, that distant triumph song. What does this mean, that distant triumph song moving secretly into your ear? Beautiful imagery by William Howe, who penned that hymn. And while we are surrounded by all sorts of noisy sounds in our lives, there's that far-off tune that's beckoning us to the victory celebration in heaven, where the saints are surrounding the throne of God and praising him for saving us from sin, death, and hell forever. It recalls the experience of Elijah, who heard God not in the wind, not in the earthquake, not in the fire, but in the still, small voice that Elijah strained to hear. What do your ears need to be attuned to today in the midst of that battle, as we think of where our citizenship is, while at the same time walking here on earth? What do your ears need to be attuned to? Perhaps it's the still, small voice of a baby's cry in Bethlehem. We're almost at Christmas. Or perhaps the still small voice of Jesus saying, I died for you. I've forgiven you. You are my own. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.